Hello and welcome back to The Brunch Files, where we serve up bottomless brunch-worthy topics about life in your 30s. We're your hosts, Tegan and Rachel, and on the menu today, we're looking at a common struggle and one I know I definitely struggle with a lot, and that is perfectionism. But speaking of perfectionism, you may notice that the audio might be slightly less than perfect today.
Smooth segue, Tegan. I love it. We're recording separately today. I've been sick with what may have been COVID, and I just really don't want to make Tegan sick. So we've decided to record remotely. So if there's a little bit of a difference in sound quality, we apologize.
Yep. Oh, well, near enough is good enough, as we'll discuss at some point through this episode.
That's going to be a major lesson from today. So perfectionism, what is it? I think that in psychology, it's a broad personality trait characterized by a person's concern with striving for flawlessness and perfection, and can be accompanied by critical self-evaluations and concerns regarding other people's evaluations of ourselves.
Yeah. And I was reading a lot about the difference between being a high achiever or someone who wants to achieve and then being a perfectionist, which I think often we probably lump those together a little bit when they're probably a little bit distinct.
Yes. And I think maybe being a high achiever, nothing wrong with that. The issues come when we are really striving for perfection, when that's probably not attainable most of the time.
Yeah. And I think it's also that it comes with a sense of judgment, I guess, in that with perfectionists, that your self-worth is tied largely to your ability to strive for or achieve your own like unrelenting standards.
Yes, that's it. And I think it can come with really experiencing negative consequences of setting really high demands on ourselves and like such high standards and continuing to go for them despite what might be a really huge cost, or I guess continuously letting ourselves down.
Yeah, that pressure.
The pressure and probably most of the time it comes, you know, we're putting it on ourselves, comes from ourselves. I think it can be seen perhaps toxically as a bit of a positive, or, you know, we can drop it into conversations like I'm a perfectionist, you know, like, oh, yeah, always striving for perfection, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think instead of probably us seeing it for what it is, and that can be quite problematic. I think maybe self-sabotaging behavior sometimes too.
Well, I guess it kind of, when you think of perfectionist, like it has perfect in the title, like how could that be a bad thing? Do you know what I mean? I guess it's similar to what we spoke about in our girl boss episode a few months ago. in that, I guess that idea of like that constant success or striving for success is so rewarded in our society that it's kind of like success at all costs, and that's what matters. So this probably, is probably why that perfectionism we sort of label as a positive trait. I know I've been guilty of that in the past.
Yeah, I saw a Brené Brown quote about this. And if you're not familiar with Brené Brown, she's a research professor and a writer. And she has some really great work around vulnerability and just, I guess, that inner self-work and things like that. And she said, sort of spoke on the difference between perfectionism and then healthy behavior when it comes to, you know, striving for the best. What she said was perfectionism is not the same thing as striving to be your best. Perfection is not about healthy achievement and growth. And she explains that perfectionism is used by many people as a shield to protect against the pain of blame, judgment, or shame, which I think it makes so much sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I also think perfectionism, like, what is perfect? Like, ultimately, I feel like you could never really achieve that, right? Because there's always a way to be, something can always be more perfect in majority of cases. So I guess by putting that pressure on ourselves, you're like, I guess striving for an unachievable reality to an extent, I suppose. Yeah,
and you're setting yourself up to fail as well. Like, I think there's nothing wrong with recognizing that the best that you give can always be better.
Yeah.
And I suppose acknowledging that, but being okay with the fact that you've done your best. And you know what? Sometimes near enough is good enough.
Yes. Yep. Definitely. But what are some signs that you may be a perfectionist? So I found a list of 10 signs that you may be a perfectionist, or maybe you're a recovering perfectionist. But there was a lot of these things on this list that I was like, oh, yes, that speaks to me.
Yes, what were they?
So the first one was all or nothing thinking. So, you know, almost perfect is seen as a failure.
Were you one of those students that was like, if you got, say, an A minus or a B or a C, you would have been like really devastated?
Yeah, I wanted over 90% on every test that I got. There you go. Basically.
Yeah. I was a bit more like, P's make degrees.
Yeah, I think I definitely let go of that a lot in university, but I know definitely like through VCE. Was mm-hmm. very much like, got to get that like best ATAR score, like can't, you know, mm-hmm. have to do well, all of that. Yeah. The second point was being highly critical of both yourself and of others. And I thought that mm-hmm. was really interesting because I think we think about it a lot as like an internal struggle. Yeah. But I suppose so much of the work we do in our day to day is with other people. So if you're putting that pressure, I suppose, on yourself, it's only natural that then if you're working, like I think about like a group assignment at university, for example.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Then there's, you know, it probably was in a huge leap to say that you would then push that onto others, which could be perceived quite negatively.
I hadn't really thought about it in that context, like about it being critical of others. I'd always thought about perfectionism as something we put on ourselves.
Yeah.
But it would actually make sense. And I wonder if this sometimes can come from parents. If you have a perfectionist parent who then puts that pressure on you as a child, you then like it carries on a little bit.
Yeah.
Like if you've always felt that pressure and you put it on yourself and then you put it on others. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it can come as well from families where there were some examples when I was doing some reading before about how, you know, if you have parents who potentially, maybe your parents didn't go to university, for example, and they didn't get some of the educational opportunities that they've been able to provide for you. And so therefore, mm-hmm. you know, you can feel that pressure to go, well, I've had all these opportunities and I have to be incredible. So whether it's not, it's coming from them or not, but just circumstance can therefore just, yeah. I guess, sort of breed this perfectionist tendencies.
Yes, that makes sense. What else?
The third one was feeling pushed by fear of the fear of being less than perfect.
I think fear is a massive one. I think we'll dig into that later because I think that they're just so linked.
Mm-hmm. Number four was having unrealistic standards, which we've already touched on a little bit. Number five, focusing only on the results or the outcome, which I think is really interesting as well because you can kind of, I guess, when you are sort of striving for that perfectionism, the goal is the end result and you can kind of miss out on a lot of the joy that can come from the journey there, I suppose. Yes.
it's the climb, as Miley would say.
Yes, definitely. number six, feeling upset or shame around unmet goals. The fear of failure is number seven. And then 8, 9, and 10 were procrastination, defensiveness, and low self-esteem.
I think that last one, low self-esteem and I think insecurity, I guess it's that. You know, that fear piece again, which we'll jump into later.
Yeah.
But you mentioned you struggle with it. Do you think this is something you've always battled?
I think so. I think I just have that natural tendency to like want to do well in things. Mm-hmm. And so therefore I think I've always felt quite, like just in competition with myself, I guess, and that I always just have to be, mm-hmm. do as well as I can. I think I've learned to sort of let go of that a little bit. I think through university I kind of, you know, let go of that a little bit, and I think through work as well, like my corporate career, I've sort of learned to let go of it as well because, to be honest, if you're striving for perfection all the time, just you'll never get anything done. And it was actually one of my very first managers, and I remember him saying to me, like, near enough is good enough. And I think coming out of that mindset of, you know, feeling like you're being graded on every piece of work at school and things like that, like that doesn't happen in the workplace. And so I think, yeah, I'm slowly starting to let go of it, but a lot of these things, like, yeah, I think definitely, like, being highly critical of myself, you know, feeling upset if I don't meet a goal, that fear of failing, the fear of doing something wrong, or like, yeah, like that's like a big thing for me. Procrastination, definitely. Yeah. Which is kind of funny because you wouldn't think procrastination really goes with perfectionism, but there you go.
I found that interesting when I was doing reading on this today and the link, how you basically like it's basically a direct result of perfectionism, because you put off, you don't want to feel like shit, you don't want to fail, you don't want to suffer judgment, so you actually procrastinate and put off doing the thing,
yes,
to avoid those feelings. But like, yeah, you're right, it doesn't come to mind straight away, because you think if you're a perfectionist, you're just going to be getting it done, doing the thing. Yeah
And actually that's so true. Like the things I often procrastinate over are the things that I feel stressed about, or that have mm-hmm. like a higher, I guess higher value maybe, or yes. like a higher, the stakes feel a bit higher, that you feel like, yeah, that sort of paralyzed to get started by things, because yeah, you don't want to do it wrong, or you know. Yep. But how about you? Is it something you struggled with?
I've sort of been grappling with this today. I actually don't think I think I have perfectionist tendencies, but I don't think I would classify myself as a perfectionist. I'm quite she'll be right kind of an attitude. Mm. Near enough is good enough. On the whole, and I guess I'm thinking about things like work. And I think most things, but I would say I'm really competitive and I have really high standards for myself. And I do hate not meeting those standards mm-hmm. or doing less than best. So look, maybe I'm more of a perfectionist than I think, because I do think I hate, I always want to do a good job and I will beat myself up if I don't.
Mm.
But I do think I've kind of found a balance. Like I think I can get perspective generally on what is okay to not be, you know, perfect, what is okay to be near enough and what is not.
Yeah. It probably exists a bit on a spectrum anyway, all of these things. Like I would probably classify myself the same, like probably more like I'm just naturally driven to be a high achiever, but definitely have perfectionist tendencies. But I also think, could you really be a high achiever if you don't? Like some of this stuff, like I always say as well, talk to Sean, I'm like, I feel like I have really high functioning anxiety, but in a way, like I feel like it helps me to
get stuff done.
Yeah, exactly. So I think there can be like positive and negatives. I guess the idea is if it's having a negative impact on your life on the whole, or it's in control of you and you're not in control of it, I guess that's where it becomes an issue.
I think that's it. So maybe I have those tendencies, but I feel like on the whole I'm in control of them.
Yeah, and you're able to sort of like check them, like keep them in check to a degree.
And like talk myself down perhaps.
Yeah, definitely.
But I 100% feel like that upset or shame around I make goals. Mm. Like I would say I am outcome focused. Like
yes.
Highly. Like I like to tick things off. I like to get them done. I hate dilly-dallying. And I like them to be done well.
So yes.
Yeah. We asked our listeners, do you struggle with perfectionism? 82% said yes, but 18% said not so much.
Interesting.
And then we said, for those that do struggle with it, does it hold you back from trying or doing? 40% said sure does, and 60% said sometimes. No one said never. So obviously we've all had times where, you know, fear of failing, fear of not being perfect, or fear of not doing as well as we could have held us back.
Yeah.
We ask people like where it sort of shows up for them. Anything artistic or creative, which I 100% relate to, that's probably somewhere where I can get quite crippled by it. I won't put paintbrush to canvas or pen to page
me
sometimes.
Neither, because I'm terrible. And that's the thing. I think I hate doing anything I feel that I'm bad at. I'll actively avoid it.
I hear you. Like, that's it. It's like you don't want to fail, so you just avoid it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Several people said work.
Yeah. Exercise, cleaning, parenting. Yes.
Partnering.
Marriage.
Being a son-in-law, a son, an employee, a friend. There you go. Like, there's pretty much all areas of life. Someone said I used to find it held me back from posting stuff on social media, which I think that's just another prime example of, you know, you procrastinating because you don't post because it's not perfect. And so you put it off and you put it off and then you never post anything. And so, I guess that'd be in the context also of if you're posting content for, you know, say you had a business or, not just your own personal stuff, but it could really stop you.
Yeah.
You know, if you're scared of talking to the camera, you'll never post that story or just.
Yeah. And I guess as well, that probably also ties into like the fear of failure, I guess, from yourself, but I guess that's the fear of failure in that not like the perceptions of other people.
Yes. Which
I think is a whole nother thing. So it's not just yourself, but also worrying that other people will judge you for what and think what you've done is not perfect.
Yes.
Or silly 100%. Or good or whatever.
Yeah, that fear of judgment, fear of what other people think. I feel like we come back to that so often in so many topics because it's just something that is present for so many of us. Like it can be really crippling. And I guess on that, like when I was doing a bit of reading up about perfectionism, one thing that kept popping up was that it's essentially just fear in disguise. It's not about high standards. It's about being terrified or fear holding us back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of our brain's misguided attempt to keep us safe, like thinking that flawlessness will protect us from judgment and failure. It's like a shield.
Yeah.
Like if we don't do it perfectly, then no one can judge me or criticize me. I can't fail. Or
Well, I guess at the end, it's really just it's a manifestation of anxiety, I would say. Which is really just fear. Like we think we have this intuition that, oh no, if I don't do that, it's not going to be right or it's going to be bad or whatever, which we think is intuition, but it's really just fear.
And it's listening, believing what we're thinking.
Yes, sometimes believing that is not our helpful. Brains. And our brains are not the most, what's the word, truthful.
No, not always. They don't always know what's best for us. I think it where it can come from, I think it, from some reading, it can stem from, you know, childhood expectations. So, you know, pressure, pardon me, throat's still not back to normal. you know, pressure put on us as children, societal pressure now, which I think is a huge thing, you know, other people's expectations. And also past experiences of things like criticism.
Yeah, true. I think, I think that's why I would guess when we give feedback to people, like doing things in a way that, I guess doing it gently in a way that's constructive. Because I think if you think you've done something, if you think back to a time where you've done something and you've kind of missed the mark, which we all do from time to time, it's not realistic or really possible to do everything right 100% of the time. But if you've kind of been, I guess, really shot down about that or criticized or ridiculed, then of course you're not going to want to try again and you're going to have a fear of trying again. So I guess, it's so interesting to think, but like I can think of probably a couple of examples where that might have happened or, you know, maybe in like sports or dancing or previous things in the past, and it just, cripples you from then wanting to try again because I guess the consequence felt so severe when you missed the mark.
Yes, the embarrassment I'm thinking also this could be what can stop us from speaking up in a meeting at work. You know, if you have an idea, you're being scared of what, that it's actually not going to be a good idea, so you don't say it.
Yeah. And then, you know, Jenny 2 seats down will say it and you're like, damn, why didn't I say it?
Damn you, Jenny. I think so then I guess what we learn from that is that our power lies in recognizing what it is and addressing the underlying fear. I think I'd say in insecurity rather than actually trying to achieve the unattainable perfection. Like trying to get to the perfect result is not the answer here. We need to look at what the deeper thing holding us back is, I guess.
Yeah, and I guess actively challenging that too, because if you don't, if you continue to just sort of, I guess, shy away from it or pander to it or continue to take on these, you know, perfectionistic behaviors because they feel safe, then it can just get worse over time and then it's harder to actually do the thing that you were you're kind of avoiding or hiding away from.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And I think then the other thing is this crippling procrastination or inaction or avoidance where we just never actually do anything because we're too afraid it's not going to be perfect or it's not going to hit the mark.
Yeah, or you don't do things that you really want to do. Because you just feel afraid, so you don't take on those experiences, you don't go on the trip, you don't, and then you end up just missing out, and you look back years later and go, why didn't I just do it?
And you know that like the stark difference between the feeling of feeling like you want to do something or should speak up and you don't out of fear, versus feeling those feelings and acting on them, and then that kind of reward or that pride you feel in yourself or the satisfaction of when it does go right. Like it's just miles better to have a go, even if it doesn't hit the mark exactly, than just to be crippled by that sort of fear that it won't be good enough.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess it's only by doing that that we get better at it, right? So you have to
– yeah.
Yeah. And I guess – I suppose just reminding ourselves, like I try and think about it now when I'm sort of challenging myself on things. It's like, what would I say if someone else did this? Because often what we think other people would tell us is very different to what we think we would tell other people. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there are some awful people in the world, don't get me wrong, who are just mean and, you know, what.
But they will shoot you down.
But the majority of people aren't mm-hmm. like that. So, you know, I think the risk is low. Yeah. And obviously pick if it's something really new for you, then obviously pick the who, when, where carefully, I suppose. But, yeah, I think for the most part, what the potential negative outcome that we're building up in our minds is so much worse than what it would actually be in reality, even if everything went wrong.
Yeah. And let's be real. How many people are actually just going to say, well, that's a stupid idea to your face? You know, yeah. Like most of the time I'm thinking again in that sort of meeting scenario or whatever, or like that's a really dumb effort at that artwork, or you really sucked at that game. Like no one's actually probably going to say that. Most of the time people are going to say, oh, great effort, or look, loved your input, or
yeah,
or
exactly.
Even if it's like, look, that's an interesting idea, maybe we can workshop that, and you're like, okay, maybe that wasn't my best idea, but you know, like most of the time it's not going to be as bad as we think.
No.
But I saw this thing the other day. It was probably some like, it was a billboard type situation, and it basically was saying like, you know, your first podcast, for example, won't be great. Your first painting might be bad. Your first presentation won't be your best. And like, that's the reality though, that the only way we're going to do it, sorry, the only way we're going to get better is by doing it.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
You can't, I mean, we sat on our idea to do a podcast for a while, and then we were like, oh, are we going to tell anyone? Or we've got to record. And then we're like, and then, you know, like, you're like, you've just got to start putting it out there, create the content, put it. I mean, it goes back to a little bit what Catherine was saying in that episode around creativity, like enjoy the process of doing it and just start.
Yes.
And, you know, I guess it's like, we're never going to be good at anything the first time we do it. So,
no, it's like Roger Federer wasn't the world number one when he first picked up a tennis racket. No.
And he didn't get there by avoiding it.
No, exactly. And I guess that's what we were saying before as well, when we're saying if you just focus on the end result, you don't get to enjoy. Like, yes, okay, maybe like if I'm sure I'm never going to be like Pablo Picasso, but if I just really enjoy painting, it doesn't really matter if the end outcome looks like shit. If no, I got enjoyment out of just creating, then that's all it needs to be. It doesn't need to be more than that.
Yeah. And do you find like that it can lead to you sort of like endlessly tweaking work before sharing it, or like struggling to delegate, setting unrealistic expectations for yourself? Like,
yeah, I think as well it used to, if I think just mainly in a work context, if I was really nervous about handing a piece of work into a manager or whatever, I would tweak it a lot beforehand, but then I would almost feel like compelled to, when I shared it, to share like to caveat it, to say, oh, I don't think it's my best, or I'm not quite sure I've got this, like let me know if you have feedback, like almost opening the door for them to be like, oh yeah, this is not good. But it's like I had to tell them that I didn't think it was good either, and 9 times out of 10 they come back and like, oh, it's fine.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I hear that. Like I still sometimes catch myself being like, oh, let me know if this doesn't hit the mark, or you know, that kind of thing. Just as like you almost want to cover, like, or it's almost also like that adding, I mean, I don't know. I don't know though, at the end of like giving a great idea. Yes,
exactly. Like you have to just sort of like couch it. But again, it's just like sort of, I guess, feeding into your, or like it's just feeding your own anxiety or fueling it, giving into it.
And also you're not backing yourself, which is something we've spoken about on this show before, how we should back ourselves.
Yes, definitely, where we think it's warranted. I mean, I mean, there's different times. Like if you're not quite sure about a certain thing, I think it's okay to phrase that. But I think, yes, it's about how you do it, and so that you're not totally disempowering yourself.
Yes, not always apologising for something that you don't need to apologise for.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I saw some interesting stuff around perfectionism versus excellence. So if we really want to be striving for excellence versus if we're striving for perfectionism. So in the first column was perfectionism versus striving for excellence. So some examples were being right is an example of perfectionism versus being willing to be wrong.
Yeah.
Is how you'd be striving for excellence. Fear versus taking a risk. Mm-hmm. Anger and frustration versus empowerment. Control versus flexibility. Judgment versus acceptance, doubt versus confidence, pressure versus balance, the destination versus the journey. So just how those things on that, like the first things I said, they're so limiting, which is the opposite of what we're really trying to achieve. We want to be excellent. And so that opposite side around being open to be wrong, to take a risk, to be flexible, all that kind of stuff, and how that's going to get you so much further than allowing that perfectionism to hold you back.
Yeah, 100%. Because really, we think about any time where you feel like you've really learned something. If you're just good at everything all of the time, then there's never anything to be, you know, to improve on necessarily. People aren't mm-hmm. going to tell you to improve. Like, I used to find that so frustrating in my first job when I would ask for feedback and people say, "You're doing a great job." And I'm like, "But how can I improve?"
Yeah. Like, you guys give me something.
Yeah. So I guess if you're not, you know, being willing to be wrong, like, you know, taking that risk, you know, you're going to learn more and therefore be able to grow more. I guess it's also about like having a fixed mindset versus having a growth mindset as well.
Yes. Completely.
Probably feeds into this too. In that, yeah, just trying to do away with black and white thinking, which actually was what one of our listeners sent through as well, around how they sort of had, are challenging their perfectionism or how they're managing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Trying to just get rid of that black, white, perfect, not good enough.
Yeah. And it just it's exhausting as well.
Yeah, like, I know, it wears you down.
Yeah, and it's just – it can make a lot of things way more stressful than they need to be. As well, and I think, you know, there's probably a time and place for it to put in that extra mile, but, you know, 85% of the time, like we say, you probably don't, you know, 80% is probably fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what are some, I guess, some quick fire tips, tricks, ideas of how we can tackle this in ourselves?
So we had a few tips here. So try something new every day, or, you know, as often as you can, and just have a go when it's something that you really want to do. I'm trying to embrace this a little bit more because I think that for me is something especially if I had to do it alone, like the thought of trying something new on my own with like other people, just for, like, it gives me anxiety just thinking about it.
Yes, really. I love this tip. I think it's so good.
Yeah.
Is there anything you've done on your own recently or you're thinking about doing?
Oh, not looking. I can come to mind just this minute. But I think in the past, like, maybe things like a new exercise type, like, class or something, like, if I didn't have someone to go with, the thought of going on my own just felt like a lot.
Yeah.
I think that
just have a go thing. Like, in doing notes for this episode, what kept coming to mind was my little health and fitness Instagram that I started like when I was starting my study doing nutrition and PT and stuff. And like for a while I was like, ugh. Like you look at all the beautiful, perfect aesthetic content out there and you just compare yourself and you think, well, I've got nothing good to say and who's going to want to watch, you know, my food prep or my exercise. And then I just kept thinking, I'm like, one, it doesn't matter if it's shit to start with. Two, I just want to put it out there because I want to encourage people that, you know, I've been in people's shoes where it's all a bit hard and overwhelming and scary, and I just want to encourage people and make this my page a safe space, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And just started creating content. And it's so lovely hearing, I mean, it's very, very small time, but like lovely feedback from people about how, you know, they've tried a recipe or my video inspired them to get out for a walk today or anything like that. And I'm like, if I had just been like, nah, it's not going to be good enough, I won't put it out there, then I would never have this beautiful little community and I wouldn't have received any of that feedback or inspired that one person to take a walk or that one person to cook a healthy meal or whatever it might be, you know?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
Just having a go sometimes and getting it out there is just so much better than just letting that fear hold you back, I guess. That was my own little anecdote.
Yeah, no, but I think that's so true. But also with social media as well, like everyone has access to the unfollow button if they really want it. So you kind of go, it's like you're not holding anyone hostage. Like people want to engage, they'll engage. And if they don't, they don't. And like, I think we have to worry less in some of those situations about what others think. Like, yeah, if they don't want to be there, they won't be there.
That's it. And straight, like our next tip following straight up that is near enough is often good enough. Most of the time, 80% is enough. Yeah, my crappy quality videos, they're not beautiful or anything, but like, you know, they get a good message out there sometimes, and that's, you know, what I'm aiming for example.
Yeah, but it's so true. Like it's a great example because I was listening to a podcast the other day, probably like a few months ago now, if I'm honest.
A couple of years ago.
But it was a small business. I actually can't remember who it was, but it was a business owner and they were talking about short form social media content and just the amount of time and effort and money that often goes into producing this highly polished content that the majority of people might watch for 20 seconds if you're lucky. And then they scroll on, like that's what I'm saying, 20 seconds if you're lucky, but often 3 or 4 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then they scroll on and within 2 days the sort of wave is done and no one's looking at it again. So it's like, what's the ROI in making them picture polished perfect? You probably get the same result if the footage was slightly grainier, and because it's the substance of the content, not so much the production value for short form content. So I think it's such a good example of where you go, well, what's the return on investment? That doesn't have to be financial either. But just looking at, where is it worth going that extra mile and making something super crisp and polished, and where is it better to just, sort of aim for that 80% mark?
Yeah, well, even with our podcast socials, sometimes our quick slapdash thrown together thing, we're like, oh, we need to get a post up, we put it up, it does so much better than when we spent days energy.
Exactly. Sometimes I think things look a bit more organic, do better.
Yes, that's it. What else do we have?
Stop measuring and comparing. We talk a lot about comparison.
It's the thief of joy, as Tegan says.
Well, not as I say, as I repeat that someone else more famous than me said. But I think this one's so true because, I mean, obviously measuring, it's a double-edged sword because you also want to be able to tangibly look at what you've achieved, and sometimes measuring is doing that. But I think if it becomes to the point that that's your only measure of success, for lack of a better word to use, then there's an issue. And if you're only comparing yourself with others, then it's just a recipe for self-doubt and fear of failure.
I have a very good example of this.
Mm.
When talking health and fitness, you know how we're millennial girls, everyone listening to this will understand how crippling the scales can be, or how much of a bearing they can have on your mood or your perception of your progress, of how you think you're doing and comparing to others. And when you look at something like, say, a fat loss journey, there are so many other measures. So you could be doing measurements. It could be how your clothes fit. It could be how you're feeling. It could be how, you know, your progress photos are. And the scales haven't necessarily changed. Mm. And if we're just measuring by one metric and comparing, say, that number on the scales to someone else, it's actually not giving us, you know, a true reflection of our progress. And I think this is just one example of how we can fixate on one thing. And you might have a number in your head that is your goal kilogram weight.
Yeah.
And to you, that's the perfect number you'd want to be at, when really there are so many other variables and things you can measure by. And I think it just came to mind because I'm like, we can get so fixated on one little thing when that can often be quite a warped goal or something.
Yeah. That's necessarily and it can helpful. Blind you from all the other things that you've achieved as well.
Yes.
Completely. So looking at things holistically is much better than looking at them in isolation.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Next was letting your best be enough. Sorry, did you have
another question? No, I was about to say the same one, so go for it.
Just let your best be enough, you know, like, yes, always strive to improve your best, like in any area of life we always can and we know that, but if today your best is what you've produced and you're comfortable that you put in the hard work and that's what you produced, then congratulate yourself on that. Let it be enough.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we're reminding ourselves that we do the best we can with the tools and the information and everything that we have at the time. So I think that's the other thing. Like, we might be looking at, it probably goes back to that comparison piece again, but, you know, we might be looking at someone else who has way more, like, for example, even in fitness, like if you look at some fitness influencers, like if a fitness influencer has a PT every day and a private chef, well, probably their best is going to look better than yours because they've got that support, and that's not achievable for everyone else. So I think it's also about putting things in context.
And they might be 3 years ahead of you in their journey.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know where someone started, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
I love this one.
Yes. Go for it.
You go.
Oh, no, me. Laughing at your mistakes. And I think this one is so hard because for me, like, if I make a mistake, it just feels so – it can kind of feel like, oh, it's just like the worst thing in the world. But I think, learning to laugh at them. I mean, most things won't matter in, like, 5 days' time.
Yes.
If we're honest.
I think that's it. We could take ourselves so seriously, our work so seriously. It's like – in the scheme of things, I mean, we're not saving lives. My colleague the other day said, it's PR, not ER.
Yes.
And we all just had a good laugh because I was talking about something that, like, I know we're all a bit fixated on, and we were just like, hang on, we can just take a step back here. It's not the end of the world.
We used to say that a lot at my old work. We're not saving babies.
Yes, that's it. Like, we're just a bit of a step back in perspective can sometimes allow you to have a bit of a giggle instead of a bit of a cry.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think the next one kind of feeds into this one, this previous one as well, like, and so probably the next one, like, leaning into uncomfortable emotions and being gentle with yourself.
Yes.
But I think there is something really to be said for learning how to sit with feelings of discomfort
Totally. We're so bad at it.
Really bad at it. Well, it doesn't feel like, good. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I think there's always a distraction and there's sort of always instant gratification in today's society. And so we're not often made to sit with feelings of discomfort, or we're not even often made to get outside of our comfort zone. Like,
no,
even to the level of being able to lie on the couch and order Uber Eats for dinner, which, you know, I did this weekend because I was sick and like, I'm not gonna have to go anywhere or do anything. But like on a more deeper level, I think nothing stretches you like being outside your comfort zone and being put into those tricky situations. Yeah. And if you're letting that fear and perfectionism hold you back, then you're actually not going to be your best.
Yeah, definitely.
You'll grow more if you put yourself in those uncomfortable situations where you can be stretched.
Yeah. And also just being gentle. I think that piece about being gentle with yourself feeds into that so nicely, because it's, you know, when you like allowing yourself to sit with that, but also being kind to yourself and like some of the things that can bring up and like the thoughts. And I guess we've spoken a little bit about self-compassion on a previous episode as well, but mm-hmm. I think just reinforcing, like even letting like that near enough is good enough could be like a bit of a mantra, like I'm doing my best with what I have, like those sorts of things, and just actually actively challenging some of those negative thoughts that our brains love to, you know, like talk at us in our heads all day long.
You know what, this is probably actually one of the key points, because the perfectionism, I think one of the biggest things is that we beat ourselves up when we don't do a good job, or we're putting such intense pressure on ourselves and being probably speaking to ourselves quite cruelly some of the time. So this is like, so be gentle with yourself and speak kindly to yourself, I would add.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I suppose, give yourself the same grace you would give someone else.
Yeah, absolutely, which we don't do enough of. Yeah.
No. Very different like standard when it comes and treatment when it comes to, you know, ourselves versus, you know, a nice colleague or a family member or a friend.
Yeah. And it also probably comes to thinking about like, what is it that you're wanting to achieve? So if we think about the outcomes, like how often are those outcomes tied to some sort of external gratification or external
validation,
sorry, is the word I was looking for.
But also gratification.
Yeah. But like, what is it that, what are we doing for us versus what are we doing for the, you know, favor of others, I suppose, as well.
Yes.
Probably something to interrogate.
People-pleasing.
Because then if you care less, like even if you still care about the outcome but you care less about the repercussions of what that potential person might think about it, then it's a lot easier to laugh at your mistakes and to lean into those uncomfortable emotions, to be gentle with yourself because you've kind of reframed it.
Yeah, as well. And it probably comes back to our level of self-worth, self-esteem, self-confidence as well. Because if you care less what other people think and if you are comfortable in yourself, in your body, in your work, in your output, then it's going to be much easier to laugh something off and to push back and to embrace the whole, you know, I'm doing my best and I'm okay with it attitude.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think as well that one of the last tips was around focusing on the process, not the destination so much. So yeah, we sort of spoke about that before, but finding enjoyment in just the act of doing less and, you know, less worried about the act of, the outcome of it being perfect, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a quote that I thought we could leave you with, because I really thought it summed everything up, and is it just probably a good mantra. And that is, your imperfect action today is worth infinitely more than the perfect action you never take.
Yeah.
And that was by Charlotte Grimmel, who's a psychologist, and she has some great socials content at The Mind Friend, and she has some really good stuff on perfectionism. But essentially, doing something is better than doing nothing. And perfectionism can often lead to us doing nothing or a worse job than if we were open to putting ourselves out there, out of our comfort zone.
Yeah, 100%. What a great quote. That's so good to remember, I think. Because, the amount of things we probably don't do just out of pure fear. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, take the leap, I guess, is the takeaway from today's episode.
Yeah, good chat. Look, thank you, everyone, for sending in your thoughts on this, where it shows up for you, what kind of works for you to address this. We love, love, love getting your feedback. So if you don't already follow us and you're listening, maybe for the first time today, look us up on socials. We're on Instagram and TikTok at thebrunchfiles.podcast. We absolutely love hearing your feedback. So feel free to reach out to us at any time.
Yeah, and before you go, before you click off this episode, if you could leave us a quick rating or a review in the podcast platform that you're listening in, we would love that as well, because it really, really helps us out. But thank you as always for listening, and we will catch you in the next one.
Bye.
The Brunch Files would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands on which we live, meet, work and play, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging, and of course any First Nations peoples who may be listening today.
This podcast is all about the adventures, stories and laughs of being a woman in her 30s. While we strive to entertain and share relatable experiences, please remember that our content is purely for fun and shouldn't be taken too seriously, and it's definitely not professional advice. Life is a wild ride and everyone's journey is unique. We believe that laughter is the best policy and we're just here to spread some joy.